Chapter 26.
Mon Mothma shook her head in wonderment.
The Katana fleet, she breathed. After all these years, it's incredible.
Some might even put it more strongly than that,
Phalia added coolly, his fur rippling as he gazed hard at Card's impassive face. He'd been doing a lot of that throughout the hastily called meeting, Leia had noticed. Gazing hard at Card, at Luke, at Leia herself. Even Mon Mothma hadn't been left out.
Some might, in fact, have severe doubts that what you're telling us is true at all.
Beside Card, Luke shifted in his seat, and Leia could sense his efforts to control his annoyance with the Bothan. But Card merely cocked an eyebrow.
Are you suggesting that I am lying to you?
What, a smuggler lie?
Phalia countered.
What a thought.
He's not lying,
Han insisted, an edge to his voice.
The fleet's been found. I saw some of the ships.
Perhaps,
Phalia said, dropping his eyes to the polished surface of the table. Of all those at the meeting, Han had so far been the only one to escape Phalia's posturing and his glare. For some reason, the Bothan seemed reluctant to even look at him.
Perhaps not. There are more dreadnought cruisers in the galaxy than just the Katana fleet.
I don't believe this,
Luke spoke up at last, looking back and forth between Phalia and Mon Mothma.
The Katana fleet's been found. The Empire's going after it, and we're sitting here arguing about it.
Perhaps the problem is that you believe too much, or too easily,
Phalia retorted, turning his gaze on Luke.
Solo tells us the Empire is holding someone who can lead them to these alleged ships, and yet Card has said only he knows their location.
And as I've mentioned at least once today, Card said tartly, the assumption that no one else knew what we'd found was just that, an assumption.
Captain Hoffner was a very astute man in his way, and I have no trouble believing that he might have pulled a copy of the coordinates for himself before I erased them.
I'm glad you have such faith in your former associate,
Phalia said.
For myself, I find it easier to believe that it is Captain Solo who is wrong.
His fur rippled.
Or has been deliberately deceived.
Beside her, Leia felt Han's mood darken.
You want to explain that, Counselor?
He demanded.
I think you were lied to,
Phalia said bluntly, his eyes still not meeting Han's.
I think this contact of yours, who I notice you've been remarkably reluctant to identify, told you a story and dressed it up with false evidence. That piece of machinery you say Calrissian examined could have come from anywhere. And you yourself admitted that you were never actually aboard any of the ships.
What about the Imperial raid on the Coral Vanda?
Han demanded.
They thought there was someone there worth grabbing.
Phalia smiled thinly.
Or else they wanted us to believe that they did. Which they very well might, if your unnamed contact is in fact working for them.
Leia looked at Han. There was something there beneath the surface. Some swirl of emotion she couldn't identify. Han? She asked quietly.
No,
he said, his eyes still on Phalia.
He's not working for the Imperials.
So you say?
Phalia sniffed.
You offer little proof of that.
All right, then, Card put in. Let's assume for the moment that all this is in fact a giant soap bubble. What would the Grand Admiral stand to gain from it?
Phalia's fur shifted in a gesture Leia decided was probably annoyance. Between her and Card, they'd pretty well burst the Bothan's theory that Thrawn was not, in fact, an Imperial Grand Admiral, and Phalia wasn't taking even that minor defeat well.
I should think that was obvious,
he told Card stiffly.
How many systems would we have to leave undefended, do you suppose, in order to reassign enough trained personnel to reactivate and transport 200 dreadnoughts? No, The Empire has a great deal to gain by hasty action on our part.
They also have a great deal to gain by our total lack of action, Card said, his voice icy cold. I worked with Hoffner for over 2 years, and I can tell you right now that it won't take the Imperials a great deal of time to obtain the fleet's location from him. If you don't move quickly, you stand to lose everything.
If there's anything out there to lose, Phalia said.
Leia put a warning hand on Han's arm.
That should be easy enough to check,
she jumped in before Card could respond.
We can send a ship and tech crew out to take a look. If the fleet is there and seems operational, we can start a full-scale salvage effort.
From the look on Card's face, she could tell that he thought even that was moving too slowly, but he nodded.
I suppose that's reasonable enough, he said.
Leia looked at Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma? I agree,
the other said.
Counselor Phalia, you'll speak to Admiral Drayson at once about assigning an escort frigate and 2 X-Wing squadrons to this mission.
Preferably a ship already here at Coruscant. We don't want anyone outside the system to even get a hint of what we're doing.
Phalia inclined his head slightly.
As you wish. Will tomorrow morning be sufficiently early?
Yes.
Mon Mothma looked at Card.
We'll need the fleet's coordinates.
Of course,
Card agreed.
I'll supply them tomorrow morning.
Phalia snorted.
Let me remind you, Captain Card.
Unless, of course, Counselor,
Card continued smoothly,
you'd prefer I leave Coruscant tonight and offer the location to the highest bidder.
Phalia glared at him, his fur flattening. But there was nothing he could do about it, and he knew it.
In the morning, then,
he growled.
Good,
Card nodded.
If that's all, then, I believe I'll return to my quarters and rest a while before dinner.
He looked across at Leia, and suddenly there was something different in his face or his sense. She nodded fractionally, and his gaze slid unconcernedly away from her as he stood up.
Mon Mothma, Counselor Phalia,
he said, nodding to each in turn.
It's been interesting.
We'll see you in the morning,
Phalia said darkly. A faintly sardonic smile touched Card's lips.
Of course. Then I declare this meeting adjourned,
Mon Mothma said, making it official.
Let's go,
Leia murmured to Han as the others began collecting their data cards together.
What's going on?
He murmured back.
I think Card wants to talk,
she told him.
Come on, I don't want to get bogged down here talking to Mon Mothma.
Yeah, well, you go on,
Han said, his voice oddly preoccupied. She frowned at him.
You sure?
Yeah,
he said. His eyes flicked over her shoulder, and she glanced around in time to see Phalia stride from the room.
Go on. I'll catch up with you.
All right,
she said, frowning at him.
It's okay,
he assured her, reaching down to squeeze her hand.
I just need to talk to Phalia for a minute.
What about?
Personal stuff.
He tried one of those lopsided smiles she usually found so endearing. It didn't look nearly so innocent this time as it normally did.
Hey, it's okay,
he repeated.
I'm just gonna talk to him. Trust me.
I've heard that before,
Leia sighed. But Luke had already left the room, and Card was on his way out, and Mon Mothma had that look about her that signified that she was just about to come over and ask Leia for a favor.
Just try to be diplomatic, all right?
His eyes flicked over her shoulder again.
Sure,
he said.
Trust me.
Phalia was heading down the grand corridor toward the assemblage chamber when Han caught sight of him, walking with that peculiar gait of someone who's in a terrific hurry but doesn't want anyone else to know it.
Hey!
Han called.
Counselor Phalia!
The only response was a brief flush of pale red across the nearest of the line of challah trees. glowering at the back of Phalia's head, Han lengthened his stride and within a dozen quick paces had caught up with the other.
"I'd like a word with you, counselor,"
he said. Phalia didn't look at him.
"We have nothing to discuss,"
he said.
"Oh, I think we do,"
Han said, falling into step beside him.
"Like maybe trying to find a way out of the jam you're in here."
"I thought your female was the diplomat of the family,"
Phalia sniffed, throwing a sideways look at Han's shirt front.
"We take turns,"
Han told him, trying real hard not to dislike the other.
"See, what got you into trouble here was trying to play politics by Bothan rules. That bank thing made Akbar look bad, so like any good Bothan, you jumped on him. Trouble is, no one else jumped with you. So you were left there all alone with your neck stuck way out and your political reputation on the line. You don't know how to back out gracefully, and you figure the only way to salvage your prestige is to make sure Akbar goes down."
"Indeed," Phalia said acidly. "Did it ever occur to you that I might have stuck my neck out, as you put it, because I truly believed Akbar was guilty of treason?"
"Not really, no,"
Han told him.
"But a lot of other people think that. And that's what's got your reputation on the line. They can't imagine anyone making such a fuss without some proof."
"What makes you think I haven't any proof?"
"For starters, the fact that you haven't shown it,"
Han said bluntly.
"Then there's the fact that you sent Braelia scrambling out to New Kov to try to make some sort of high prestige deal with Senator Bell Iblis. That is what Braelia was doing out there, isn't it?"
"I don't know what you're talking about,"
Phalia muttered.
"Right. And that's the third thing. The fact that 5 minutes ago you were ready to throw Bell Iblis to the Cravers if it would buy you enough time to bring in the Katana fleet."
Abruptly, Phalia stopped.
"Let me speak frankly with you, Captain Solo,"
he said, still not looking directly at Han's face.
"Whether you understand my motivations or not, I certainly understand yours. You hope to bring the Katana fleet to Coruscant yourself, and with that leverage, to force my downfall and Akbar's reinstatement."
"No,"
Han said tiredly, shaking his head.
"That's the whole point, Counselor. Leia and the others don't play by Bothan rules. They make decisions based on evidence, not prestige. If Akbar is guilty, he gets punished. If he's innocent, he gets released. It's that simple."
Phalia smiled bitterly.
"Take my advice, Captain Solo, and stick with the smuggling and fighting and other things you understand. The private rules of politics are far beyond you."
"You're making a mistake, Counselor,"
Han said, trying one last time.
"You can back out now without losing anything. You really can. But if you keep going, you risk bringing the whole New Republic down with you."
Phalia drew himself up to his full height.
"I do not intend to fall, Captain Solo. My supporters among the New Republic military will see to that. Akbar will fall, and I will rise in his place. Excuse me now. I must speak with Admiral Drayson."
He turned and stalked off. Han watched him go, the sour taste of defeat in his mouth. Couldn't Phalia see what he was doing? That he was risking everything on a single long-shot bet? Maybe he couldn't. Maybe it took an experienced gambler to see how the odds were stacked here. Or a politician who wasn't so set in his own system that he couldn't change. Phalia reached the end of the Grand Corridor and headed to the left toward the Admiralty Center. Shaking his head, Han turned and headed back toward Card's guest quarters. First the Coral Vanda, and now this. He hoped it wasn't the start of a trend. Mara stood at the window of her room, staring out at the Minari Mountains in the distance, feeling the oppressive weight of black memories gathering around her mind. The Imperial Palace. After 5 years, she was back in the Imperial Palace, scene of important governmental meetings, glittering social functions, dark and private intrigues. The place where her life had effectively begun. The place where she'd been when it had ended. Her fingernails grated across the carved swirls of the window frame as well-remembered faces rose before her. Grand Admiral Thrawn, Lord Vader, Grand Moff Tarkin, advisors and politicians and sycophants by the hundreds. But above them all was the image of the Emperor. She could see him in her mind's eye as clearly as if he were staring in at her through the window. His wrinkled face frowning, his yellow-tinged eyes bright with anger and disapproval.
You will kill Luke Skywalker.
I'm trying, she whispered to the words echoing through her mind. But even as she said it, she wondered if it were really true. She'd helped save Skywalker's life on Merkur, had come begging for his help on Jomark, and had now uncomplainingly come to Coruscant with him. She wasn't in any danger, neither was Card. There was no way she could think of why Skywalker would be useful to either her or any of Card's people. She had, in short, no excuses left. From the next room over came the faint sound of a door opening and closing. Card returned from his meeting. Turning from the window, glad of an excuse to drop this line of thought, she headed toward the door connecting their rooms. Card got there first.
Mara, he said, opening the door and poking his head through. Come in here, please.
He was standing by the room's computer terminal when she arrived. One look at his face was all she needed.
What's gone wrong?
She asked.
I'm not entirely sure, he said, pulling a data card from the terminal's copy slot. That Bothan on the Council put up a surprising amount of resistance to our offer. He basically forced Mon Mothma to hold off on any serious retrieval mission until the location's been checked out. He's getting a ship set up now for a morning flight.
Mara frowned. A double cross?
Possibly. But I can't see any point to it.
Card shook his head.
Thrawn already has Hoffner. He'll get to the fleet soon enough. No. I think it's more likely Felia's playing internal politics here. Perhaps connected to his campaign against Admiral Akbar, but I'd rather not take any chances.
I've heard stories about internal Bothan politics,
Mara agreed grimly.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to leave tonight for the Trogon system, he said, handing her the data card. Best guess is that's where Aves will have holed up. Make contact and tell him I want everything we have that can both fly and fight to rendezvous with me at the Katana fleet as soon as possible.
Mara took the card gingerly, her fingers tingling at the touch of the cool plastic. There it was, in her hands, the Katana fleet. A lifetime's worth of wealth or power.
I may have trouble persuading Aves to trust me, she warned.
I don't think so, Card said. The Imperials will have reinstated the hunt for our group by now. That alone should convince him I've escaped. There's also a special recognition code on that data card that he'll know. A code the Grand Admiral couldn't possibly have extracted from me this quickly.
Let's hope he doesn't have a higher opinion of Imperial interrogation methods than you do,
Mara said, sliding the data card into her tunic.
Anything else?
No. Yes. Card corrected himself. Tell Ghent I'd like him to come to Coruscant instead of going to the Katana fleet. I'll meet him here after all this is over.
Ghent? Mara frowned. Why?
I want to see what a really expert slicer can do with that suspicious lump in Akbar's bank account.
Skywalker mentioned a theory that the break-in and the deposit happened at the same time, but he said that so far no one's been able to prove it. I'm betting Ghent can do so.
I thought this involvement in New Republic politics was supposed to be a one-shot deal,
Mara objected.
It is, Card nodded. I don't want to leave an ambitious Bothan at my back when we leave.
Point,
she had to concede.
All right. You have a ship for me to use?
There was a tap at the door.
I will in a minute,
Card said, crossing to the door and pulling it open. It was Skywalker's sister.
You wanted to see me? She asked.
Yes, Card nodded in greeting. I believe you know my associate, Mara Jade.
We met briefly when you arrived on Coruscant.
Organa Solo nodded. For a moment her eyes met Mara's, and Mara wondered uneasily how much Skywalker had told her.
I need Mara to go on an errand for me,
Card said, glancing both directions down the corridor before closing the door.
She'll need a fast, long-range ship.
I can get her one,
Organa Solo said.
Will a reconnaissance Y-Wing do, Mara?
That'll be fine,
Mara said shortly.
I'll call the spaceport and make arrangements.
She looked back at Card.
Anything else?
Yes, Card said.
I want to know if you can throw together a tech team and get it into space tonight.
Counselor Faley is already sending a team,
she reminded him.
I know that. I want yours to get there first.
She studied him a moment.
How big a team do you want?
Nothing too elaborate, Card told her. A small transport or freighter, perhaps a starfighter squadron if you can find one that doesn't mind risking official wrath. The point is not to have Phalia's presumably hand-picked crew the only ones there.
Mara opened her mouth, closed it again without speaking. If Card wanted Organa Solo to know that his own people would also be coming, he would tell her himself.
Card glanced at her, back at Organa Solo.
Can you do it?
I think so,
she said.
Phalia has built up a lot of support in the military, but there are enough people who would rather have Admiral Ackbar back in charge.
Here are the coordinates,
Card said, handing her a data card.
The sooner you can get the team moving, the better.
It'll be gone in 2 hours,
Organa Solo promised.
Good.
Card nodded, his face hardening.
There's just one more thing, then. I want you to understand that there are exactly 2 reasons why I'm doing this. First, as gratitude to your brother for risking his life to help Mara rescue me. And second, to get the Imperials off my back by eliminating their chief reason to hunt me down. That's all. As far as your war and your internal politics are concerned, my organization intends to remain completely neutral. Is that clear?
Organa Solo nodded.
Very clear,
she said.
Good. You'd better get moving, then. It's a long way to the fleet, and you'll want as much head start on Phalia as you can get.
Agreed.
Organa Solo looked at Mara.
Come on, Mara. Let's get you your ship.
The comm beside Wedge Antilles' bunk buzzed its annoying call-up signal. Groaning under his breath, he groped in the darkness and slapped in the general direction of the switch.
Come on, give me a break, huh?
He pleaded.
I'm still running on Ando time.
It's Luke, Wedge,
a familiar voice said.
Sorry to drag you out of bed, but I need a favor. You feel like maybe getting your people into some trouble?
When aren't we in trouble?
Wedge countered, coming fully awake.
What's the deal?
Get your pilots together and meet me at the spaceport in an hour. Docking pad 15. We've got an old transport. We should be able to fit all your X-Wings aboard.
It's a long trip, then?
A few days. I can't tell you any more than that right now.
You're the boss,
Wedge said.
We'll be there in 1 hour.
See you then. And thanks.
Wedge keyed off and rolled out of bed, feeling a stirring of old excitement. He'd seen a lot of action in the decade he'd been with the Rebellion and New Republic. A lot of flying, a lot of fighting. But somehow, the missions he remembered as being the most interesting always seemed to be the ones where Luke Skywalker was also involved. He wasn't sure why. Maybe Jedi just had a knack for that.
He hoped so.
Between politics on Coruscant and cleaning up after Imperial raids across the New Republic, things were getting more and more frustrating around here. A change would do him good.
Keying on the light, he pulled a fresh tunic out of his wardrobe and started getting dressed.
There was no problem getting the midnight transport off Coruscant. Leia's authorization guaranteed that.
but a freighter with a cargo consisting of a dozen X-Wings was unusual enough to spark comment and speculation. And it was inevitable that the speculation would eventually reach the ears of one of Phalia's supporters. By morning, he knew everything.
"This goes well beyond internal political infighting,"
he snarled at Leia, his fur rippling back and forth like short stalks of grain caught in a succession of dust devils.
"It was blatantly illegal, if not treasonous."
"I'm not sure I'd go quite that far,"
Mon Mothma said, but she looked troubled.
"Why did you do it, Leia?"
"She did it because I asked her to,"
Card put in calmly.
"And since the Katana fleet is technically not yet under New Republic jurisdiction, I don't see how any activity related to it can be considered illegal."
"We'll explain proper legal procedure to you later, smuggler,"
Phalia said acidly.
"Right now, we have a serious breach of security to deal with. Mon Mothma, I request an executive order to be made out for Solo's and Skywalker's arrest."
Even Mon Mothma seemed taken aback by that one.
"An arrest order?"
"They know where the Katana fleet is,"
Phalia bit out.
"None of their group has been cleared for that information. They must be sequestered until the fleet has been entirely brought into New Republic possession."
"I hardly think that will be necessary,"
Leia said, throwing a look at Card.
"Han and Luke have both handled classified information in the past."
"This is not the past,"
Phalia interrupted her.
"This is the present, and they have not been cleared."
His fur flattened.
"Under the circumstances, I think I had best take personal charge of this mission."
Leia threw a look at Card, saw her own thought reflected in his face. If Phalia was able to personally bring back the Katana fleet.
"You're certainly welcome to come along, Counselor,"
Card told the Bothan.
"Counselor Organa Solo and I will appreciate your company."
It took a second for that to register.
"What are you talking about?"
Phalia demanded.
"No one's authorized either of you to come along."
"I'm authorizing it, Counselor,"
Card said coldly.
"The Katana fleet is still mine, and will remain so until the New Republic takes possession of it. Until then, I make their rules."
Phalia's fur flattened again, and for a moment Leia thought the Bothan was going to launch himself physically at Card's throat.
"We will not forget this, smuggler,"
he hissed instead.
"Your time will come."
Card smiled sardonically.
"Perhaps. Shall we go?"